All right, today we are in chapter 11 again of Hebrews, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about the things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is accordance to faith. Is that the way New American Standard reads it in yours, Steve?
It's close. In accordance with faith.
In accordance with faith. Okay. That's good enough. He said it was close. Tonight we come to one of the great personages of Scripture. Now, the phrase that comes to my mind is American slang. And forgive me, but I have a feeble mind. The phrase, a big kahuna, comes to my mind. I don't know why that is. Forgive me. But if you're a surfer dude, and I've really only known one surfer dude, you'll understand the phrase, big kahuna. Now, don't get your phones out and do a search. But Noah, along with Adam, and biblically speaking, we are considering tonight the two great progenitors of the human faith, of the human race. Noah was a big wave, in truth. There's your big kahuna. He's important. We trace all of our histories back to Noah, and through him to Adam himself. You rummage through your mind for a term. I tried to think of more. VIP, a high muckety muck. Have you heard of high muckety muck? A luminary. A person of note. All these things. For sure, Noah was. Well, here in our text, the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews takes note of Noah. And he would have you and I take note of him as well. For in his own day, Noah was a bright, shining star in the otherwise starless sky of his day. He was a luminary in truth. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 8 reads, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the land, from man to the animals, to the creeping things, and to the birds of the sky, he said, I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time, and Noah walked with God." Our author has little time and space as he is giving us the roll call of the faithful. He must survey in this chapter all of history up to the time of his writing. Now, at first thought, I thought a mere sentence for Noah isn't much. But in all reality, this brief sentence in Hebrews chapter 11 is a wonderful homage to Noah. He was a person of note. How do you capture the life of a person in one sentence? The writer of the letter of Hebrews does it this way, and we just read it a while ago. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is in accordance to faith. This brief note tells us about what is of great importance. It tells us about Noah's faith. Here in chapter 11 of Hebrews, we see the faith of Noah, a faith that characterizes his life. In the life of Noah, we see faith in action. Steve sang about, we sang some great songs tonight. But we see in Noah faith in action. As James, the Lord's brother, would put it, I will show you my faith by my works. And here we read, Noah prepared an ark. The author of Hebrews has said that faith is the act of looking off to the unseen. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the substance or the essence underlying our hopes. Faith is the evidence or proof concerning matters unseen. Verse 1 of chapter 11 is good. Faith colors our views concerning this present world. It informs us concerning unseen realities that are nevertheless real. I have several, and I've had several friends like this in my life that are not Christians. And it's amazing how I cannot communicate with them. There's a whole level upon which they cannot relate. They look at you with a blank stare. Faith informs us concerning unseen realities that are nevertheless real, and those without faith do not see that world. So how can we put it in the light of James chapter 2, verse 18? Faith not only colors our worldview, but faith moves us to action. Our worldview, enlightened by faith, moves us to behave in certain ways. Now, James say it, I will show you my faith by my works. So Noah, having been warned by God, acts, and he goes about the work of building a boat. Now, faith can also, we can describe it this way, can also be warned. I don't know hardly any Spanish, but I used to have a helper, and I really loved him, and I broke my heart when he wouldn't work for me anymore. But I think I've told you about my experience with poison ivy. I would point it out to him, and I'd in my chicken Spanish, is it warning, peligro? How do you say that? So, peligro? Ooh, huh?
Danger.
Danger. I can speak Spanish. Warning. Faith can be warned. By the way, he could not be warned. He would smile at me and reach down there and grab that poison ivy and look at me like, you sissy. And then one day I went to pick him up, and he came to the door in his gym shorts. And he was covered in whelps. And he said to me in perfect English, poison ivy. Faith can be warned. Noah could be warned. Now, I remember personally being warned to lay aside a very specific kind of behavior, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. It was clear to me I could not walk with God and continue on as I had previously behaved. Cain, when warned by God, insisted on his own chosen path. But faith looks around and sees the world it had once happily inhabited and sees it as a city of destruction. And he runs from it. Faith runs for yonder wicket gate. That's an exact quote of John Bunyan. Yonder wicket gate. And in spite of the mockings and the threats of neighbors, so Noah, by faith, begins the construction of an ark, a box pitched with tar within and without, a box that will float. But faith can be warned. Faith colors our views concerning this present world, a world unseen but nevertheless real. Look around at this present age. Faith sees a world intent on evil, a world corrupt and violent. John Bunyan tells us the story of Christian and his description of the city where he was born, a city where sooner or later, he says, those living there will sink lower than the grave into a place that burns with fire and brimstone. Faith sees the not yet. Faith sees the unseen future and acts. Faith can be warned. And when Noah was warned, he responded with holy fear, our verse says, with reverence towards God. He responded not primarily, in my opinion, concerning the catastrophe that was coming, but rather his response turned on what God had told him to do in the obedience to that word. He responded in holy fear. Now, I'd like to send you back what I said about my own personal experience. The Lord says, you either stop doing this or we cannot walk together. I know y'all are thinking terrible things. I suppose it was those things were terrible. But by the way, those weren't the first things that God touched. They were. Now, faith. Make sure I'm in the right place here. Has a wide and rebounding result. Our text reads that Noah prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. Faith does not remain alone. Sometimes we Christians berate ourselves with the thought we have accomplished little good for God. But if God sees faith and is pleased with us, should that be enough for us? I think it should. When the prophets of old wondered at the seeming fruitlessness of their preaching, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves or this the age in which they lived, but later ages. If our faithful obedience to God only serves to astonish angels, then that should be enough for us. And I quote here 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. The prophets of old were speaking about things that the angels longed to look into. If our faithful obedience to God only serves to astonish angels, that's good enough. Faith, like sound waves, reverberate through the air. Faith sends out ripples across the pond. Faith, when we pray in faith, live in faith, love in faith, this phrase in this evening's text says it. He built the ark to the salvation of his household. This phrase should fill us with tremendous hope. Hope for the Roman centurion. Hope for Lydia of Thyatira. Hope for the jailer of Philippi. Your household. Faith will not remain alone. Now you read the wonderful modern story in the book Green Leaf and Drought by Isabel Kuhn. Read the story of Mimosa or Raj the Brigand Chief, both books by Amy Carmichael. These stories tell us that sometimes our faith seems fruitless and the beloved households for whom we pray seem to remain untouched. But God is working yet. Faith has manifold ramifications. The hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets before we reach the heavenly field. We sang that this morning, and I said, okay, that's good. Our hymns, our hymns are just magnificent. Now listen to me. Remember what Steve read to us this morning. And let me say this. If the ramifications of our faith only result into the weeping of Egyptians, that should be enough. How long did they weep? 70 days or something like that? I'd never thought of that verse before. Faith spread out beyond itself. Faith's victories are assured. Households will be saved. Did you hear what I said? Households will be saved, and you will find God working in the very household of Caesar. Now, in the second half of verse 7, our author says that this faith and its manifestation in Noah's preparing the arks did two things. It condemned the world, and it was the vehicle by which Noah became the heir of righteousness, which is in according to faith. Now let's take these two things separately, okay? Two last things. Noah obeyed God in reverence and built the ark. And by doing that, It cast in bold relief the unbelief of those around him. It created a stark contrast between the white and the dark, the light and the darkness. Now, if you anybody ever fool around with Photoshop, that's good. There's a little slider there when you look at a photograph in Photoshop, and it says contrast. And you slide that to the right, the blacks will come blacker, and the whites will become whiter. A contrast comes up. Noah created a contrast to the world around about him. Noah cast in his faith, cast into bold relief the unbelief of those who are around about him. The world remained unfazed by Noah, the preacher of righteousness. They were eating and drinking when the destruction came upon them. Before the coming of the rains, Noah and the building of the ark were no doubt objects of ridicule. I would go home from college and I'd see my old buddies and they'd say, "Jeff, let's go do this or that." And I said, "No." What foolishness, they thought. Now, Noah's very presence among them served to condemn the world. Faith and unbelief stood in stark contrast to righteousness. Righteousness and ungodliness stood far apart. This is the way it has always been. Jesus is the ultimate example of this. As he said in John's Gospel, "For judgment I came into the world, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "We are not blind too, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." And so their condemnation was sure. And so as Noah's neighbors watched the construction of the ark, day by day their condemnation grew more and more sure. The light with the coming of Jesus cast the world into sharp contrast those who love darkness and those who love the light. After the resurrection, Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit's coming, and he would convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in him, and concerning judgment, because the power of this age has been judged. Now, Paul captures this idea when he says this: "We are a fragrance of Christ." Do you know the verse? "We are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one an aroma from death to death, to the other aroma of life to life. And Who's adequate for such things? So it could be said that Noah was a stench in the nostrils of those with whom he believed. Pardon me, with whom he lived. He was the fragrance of death. Yet those to whom he preached heard his words, and he was just an object of ridicule. But think, it was more than that. Noah was also an object of dread. Noah, by the building of the ark for his own rescue and that of his family, spoke in graphic terms of a coming doom. This has ramifications for every Christian. You and I can never be at total peace here. We live as aliens and strangers among the earthlings who love this world, who love the darkness of this age. They love the freedom to live their lives without reference to God. There could be no ultimate fellowship between these two poles. Again, our lives are a fragrance of death as far as the world is concerned. We are a stench in their nostrils. Noah and his preaching were objects of the world's dread. Now, this can be very uncomfortable, as you know. If the world can be conceived as a giant high school clique, did y'all ever have those in your school? Y'all probably didn't have cliques. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If the world can be perceived as a giant high school clique, then the faithful will never be a part of it. We should give up. They might tolerate us at the best, but we'll never be part of it. And I ask you, is that okay with you? Faith set Noah apart, and it will set us apart as well. We sang it a while ago. Some of the best things we sang: though none should follow, will we follow? In this last clause of our text, we read that faith made Noah the heir and owner of God's spiritual blessings. It is a blessing bestowed upon those who walk by faith. Those who have, according to Philippians 3, verse 9, a righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. If you read the book of Genesis, you'll find that God found Noah to be righteous and warned him in advance of his building of the ark. He was righteous when God chose him out. So when God instructed Noah to build the ark, Noah responded in faith. And so faith goes from faith to faith. Righteousness goes from righteousness to righteousness, and life to life. This is the reward and the blessing of God when this is upon us. This is the heritage of the faithful. Now from this point, we can go back to where we began. Steve read to us from the book of Genesis. Do you think it would be difficult for you to isolate one single characteristic or deed or action for a man who lived 950 years? It'd be a lot to take in. The biographer, the historian would have a time of it. It'd be a lot to analyze, but this is precisely what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 does. It isolates one single characteristic in the life of Noah. Noah believed in things that were as yet unseen. And it identifies one single deed. Noah built an ark. Now there's a statement in Genesis that tells us that Noah, like Enoch before him, walked with God. And I can confidently say that Noah had many wonderful days in those 950 years. What do you think? Wonderful days of walking with God. That is reward enough. He may have felt alienated from the world around him, but he had the reward of righteousness. He had the life of the righteous. One of the unique aspects of Scripture is they don't try to tell us about the gaps that we would want to know. Those places. There's a lot we didn't know about Noah in those 950 years. Now, there are apocryphal accounts of Noah, and they are full of crazy stories. I wrote it differently down here, but let me just put it bluntly. They're full of crazy stories. Apocryphal accounts that do not ring true. But the words Noah walked with God should be a delight to us, for they ring true. The sounding of a sterling silver bell in a quiet room. These words concerning Noah are very similar in brevity to the words spoken about Jesus when he was a little boy. And the child continued to grow and became strong, increasing in wisdom and in the grace of God was upon him. And then it says, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature in the favor of God and of men. You may want to know more. But that's enough. We can only imagine. I mention this to emphasize the fact that the life of the righteous and the faith of the righteous have, as they're outworking, events often too small to be recounted. But they are nevertheless glorious. Deeds accomplished in ordinary, everyday moments of our ordinary, everyday lives. On the great day of Christ's return, there will be a sea of believers, ordinary folks, who will cast their golden crowns at the feet of the Messiah that do not have a single shadow of regret concerning the life they have lived for God in faith. This was the reward of Noah. And it came to him by faith, seeing the unseen. it's been helping me of late to just say to and to my own self, look unto him. Just look unto him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Noah heard your words to him and he believed them. And he set about doing your will. Father, we pray nothing less than that for ourselves. Whether the deeds be recounted or whether they are not, we pray that you'd work it into us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.